It is good to be together today. Thank you for being a part of worship this morning. We know the choir's here. We know that you're here. It's time for us to begin in worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started today. We are having children's time. Invite all the kids to come down there with me for just a few moments after that first hymn. We are having a little bit different schedule today. From 4 until 7 o'clock is our Fall Family Festival. This is for the entire church body. We want you to come, be a part of the event, invite your neighbors, invite your friends. If your neighbors aren't your friends, invite them anyway. It's going to be a great time together. We've got inflatables. They're going to be outside for the kids. We even have a laser tag that's going to be coming out outside. So we invite you to be a part of that. We've got face painting and popcorn and snow cones and all kinds of things that are happening. Then dinner will be served at 5 o'clock. So many of you are providing chili and soup and desserts, and we appreciate that. There's a sign up right outside of Smith Hall. If you're able to provide any of that. If not, just come. It's free. Dinner will be served at 5 o'clock. So that is going to take the entire schedule today. And then on Wednesday is our Treat Street. That's a brand new event that we're offering for kids and their families in our community at 5:30. Everyone is invited for a free hot dog supper served from 5:30 until 6:30 in our fellowship hall. At 6 o'clock, we are opening our Treat Street doors. Many of our Sunday school classes, mission groups, families are decorating doors in specific areas of our church. And the kids will be coming through with their costumes. They'll be trick-or-treating here at the church from 6 until 8. You've already seen, if you come in this main door, you've seen some of our decorations already. It's going to be a great night together. So from 6 until 8, the church is open for anybody in the community to come through and get go from door to door and get candy. From 7 at 7 o'clock, we're having our All Saints service. And we know that we're going to try to keep the kids off of this floor to kind of keep that noise down. And so those kids are going to be at specific doors. And we appreciate everybody who's been able to be a part of that. Let's see, Jim Purnell. Come on down, has an announcement for us.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. At this time, I would like to recognize our pastors, Krista, Mary, Jeff, Raymond. Would you come forward and be recognized? I recognize you.
I recognize you.
On behalf of the College Park family and the deacons, I'd like to say to all of you and thank you for sharing your talents and your love of Jesus Christ with all of us. I'd like to read a verse from the Bible that, for me, well expresses our thankfulness for you. Even though Paul may have been writing to the church in Corinth to chastise them a little bit, I promise that's not my intent. Paul also had a great gift of expressing his thanks for people of God, as we all know. So reading from the Message, 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 6, may all the gifts and benefits that come from God and our Father and the Master Jesus Christ be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God, given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. I'd ask that you please accept these small tokens of appreciation from the deacons. We love you. We thank you, and please accept these. Krista, Mary, Jeff, Raymond. Thank you.
Well, thank you. On behalf of the staff, we We consider it a great blessing to be a part of this congregation, and we thank you for all the many ways that you do take care of us and our families, and we're very thankful to God for being a part of this place. Thank you, Jim. A few announcements left here. This is from our facility update committee. Have you seen that the gym has a concrete slab? Have you noticed that? That is exciting. We need a little bit of help from you. We're having some traffic issues around the Port of Cashier, the drive-through. There is an arrow that points the direction through which traffic should go. It is a one-way street, and some of us are trying to make it a two-way street. That's causing some difficulty, especially with the construction that's going on. So if you could help us keep that one-way traffic, if you need help with knowing which direction that is, there's a big arrow. Just follow that arrow, and that will help us out. That is, we're having a lot of people in a very tight space, and so if we can keep to the rules of the road, we certainly would appreciate that. Let's see, any other announcements?
Book club tomorrow night.
Book club tomorrow night, and the book is?
By Reason of Insanity.
By Reason of Insanity. It's not the Mary Keltner story.
No.
Okay, all right. Good. So, and that, what time tomorrow?
7:00.
7:00. So that book club, you're welcome to be a part of that. That continues to be a great ministry of our church, and we appreciate Mary and everybody who's able to be a part of that. Okay, we want to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take these pew pads and give us your name, contact information, and check the appropriate boxes, this helps us find out who was in worship today. And we do ask, once you're done, if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew, we would appreciate that. Once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, we would appreciate that. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for helping us with that. If you're a guest, we're so blessed by your presence today in worship. We would like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now, and they would like to give something to you. Just raise your hand, and they'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Isn't it amazing how quickly things change? I mean, think about this last week. It was bright and sunshine, beautiful weather, and now hurricane is on the way. You thought I was going to talk about state football, didn't you? Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Not that everybody who won last week lost yesterday. I'm not saying that, but how things changed. But they did. But anyway, how quickly things change. But aren't we glad that we have a God who stays the same forever and ever and ever. He's the same yesterday, today, and for all eternity. He is a God who knows us, knows our fears, knows our worries, knows our thoughts, and wants us to be honest with him about all of those things. About our sins, our past mistakes. He came to this earth not so that we would, he wanted to be with us so that we would never be alone. So this morning, if life is changing and you're not really sure who to trust, be encouraged to put your faith in Christ. That's why we worship. Let us prepare for worship. pray with me? Father, what a great assurance that we have in the cross. And Father, as the choir beautifully reminded us, all the day long, we remember and can be reminded that your grace and your mercy never changes. And it meets us day after day after day. Even when we're so busy or so worried about what's going on in our lives, we are reminded that the assurance of your forgiveness and your salvation walks with us. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for this opportunity to worship. May we live out this worship with our words, with our actions, through this time of worship or when we're by ourselves. Let us always be singing your praises. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Invite all the kids to come on down. Do I have a tissue? Here they come. What is that? Hi. Crisscross applesauce. Everybody, good to see everybody. How was everybody this morning? Good. Everybody's good? Okay, I need Aiden. Are you going night-night? Aiden's going night-night. Okay. All right. I have yes, sir. No, can you wear it? Let me see. Come here. I'm not really sure. Okay, it's perfect. All right, this is perfect. Now, you're actually helping me out. Okay. Now, I need for you to just do everything I say. Do you trust me? Yes?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, if I do something that makes you get hurt, Pastor Raymond will give you 100 pastor pals, okay? Is that a good deal?
Sure.
Okay, all right, here we go. Now what? There's some. Can he see? Can you see? Caleb, how many fingers am I holding up?
I don't know.
Okay, good. All right, good. You hit my fingers. All right, how many fingers am I holding up now?
Five.
How many fingers am I holding up now?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Now, I need for you to, everybody needs to be very still. Very, very still, okay? Now, Caleb, I need for you to follow every direction, okay? Now, you guys, can you just kind of make some random noise? Okay, go. Now, don't move. Now, Caleb, can you hear me? Okay. Now, I want you to find your way without hitting any of the kids. Stop. Freeze. Okay, when I start doing that, I need all of you to start making noise, okay? All of you start making noise on the count of three. One, two, three. No. Freeze. Good job. I knew Jared would do good at that. All right. Now, was it hard to hear what to do? Could you see what to do?
No.
Okay. Let's try it again. Keep it on. All right. Everybody, on that count of three, I want you to start making that noise. Whatever noise you make. And I didn't hear you two. Y'all need to make lots of noise. All right. Here we go. One, two, three. Go. Keep going. Keep making noise. Don't touch people. What are you doing? All right, freeze. All right, good job. Take a seat. Well, that's self-destructed. Okay, here we go. Sometimes, have you ever been in a really scary room when it's dark? And you don't know how, like your room and it's dark? And maybe you'll trip over something? Your closet? Yeah. It's dark in there. It doesn't have no lights. Sometimes, everybody's looking this way. Sometimes in our lives, there are times when it's very scary. And Jesus talks about in the Bible sometimes that sometimes we feel like we're blind. We don't know which direction to go. We don't know what to do. Just like Caleb a minute ago, he had this on his head. And there was a lot of noise around him. But you know what? When we're blind and we don't know what to do, what's the best way to fix that? Ask a parent.
Oh, I got it.
What?
Pray to God.
That's a great... What did I do to Caleb? Did I push you or did I grab? I did not push you. In just a minute I might, but I did not push you. What did I do? Did I grab you by the elbow? And I took you around, right? It did not hurt. Are you a soccer player? Oh, you get hurt that easily? Okay, so here's what happens. Sometimes God, when it's dark and it's scary, what does God remind us? He comes up and he's right beside us. And he guides us through. Sometimes we need to, just like Jared said, we need to pray to God. We need to ask parents. When we're scared and we don't know what to do, that's exactly what we're taught to do.
Is in a blackout.
That's a really good time to pray to God. That's exactly right. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this reminder. This morning, that sometimes it's scary and we're not really sure which way to go. Thank you that you're right there with us. You give us hope that everything's going to be okay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats now.
That's okay. Caleb needn't worry. I think next Sunday Jeff's going to put the hat on his head and let Caleb lead him around. So. I believe so. Oh, goodness. Would you please join me in the reading of God's Word if you'd like to follow along? It's Psalm 34, 1 through 8, and Hebrews 7, 23 through 28, pages 396 and 849 in the Pew Bible. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And then, if you'll read with me from Hebrews 7:23 through 28. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Would you please join me now as we go to God in prayer? Dear Holy God, we come to praise your name today, together as church family. How refreshing it is to be together. We gain strength from each other and from the deep hope that resides in our spirits, as we are bonded together with the invisible bond of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We thank you for the laughter. We thank you also that we can cry together. We thank you we can share our burdens openly and not be afraid, that you build rivers of trust between us and help us to just pour out our spirits to each other. Thank you so much for the oneness of the church, your body, called to serve you, to witness of your love, to tell others, and to bring others to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that in a world that is very rocky, with so much violence all around us, when we see the darkness that's out there, it's easy to lose hope, to become despondent. The fear can grip at our hearts. The stress can take over. But then we remember that our hope is steadily and surely in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We thank you for being there for us day and night and for eternity. Thank you for calling us unto yourself and for paying the price on the cross so that we could have an intimate relationship with God the Creator. Thank you for being our Lord and Savior, for being the door, for being our shepherd, the bread of life, the living water, for being the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for being everything to us. It's so easy to get caught up in the distractions of our busy lives, but you call us to lay it all down before you and to lean hard into you and trust you for our problems, our situations in life, our relationships. Father, we just pray that you would help us to trust you, to lay it all before you, all that troubles us this very day. Help us to lay it before you and trust that you will work where we cannot work and do far beyond us what only you can do. So thank you for being our hope forever. Thank you that we can find all that we need in you and through you as you help us live out the challenge of our earthly lives. And now bless all those who cannot be here, who long to be here, those who have lost loved ones, who are grieving a great loss. May they feel our prayers wrapping around them like a blanket. Just take care of them, Lord, and help those who are sick and in the hospital. May they know of our great love and, even more importantly, your great love for them. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Hope. It's a small word, a powerful word. With hope, we wish.
I hope I get that shiny red sports car I want for Christmas.
I hope I don't run into anyone I know.
I hope Raymond doesn't preach too long today.
With hope, we have a chance.
The hope of a cure lies in the latest research.
There's hope that things will change.
All right. There's 8 minutes still to go in the fourth quarter. There's still a chance.
With hope, we see our world differently. We can do so many things.
We can dream.
We can set goals.
We can take a step of faith.
We can see beyond our circumstances.
We can wait in expectation.
We can endure.
We can know joy.
And what if we lose hope? What is left?
Pessimism.
Dejection.
Misery.
Anguish.
Despair.
And yet, when circumstances threaten to overwhelm us, when it seems there's no hope to be found, we find another definition of hope, somebody or something that brings success or relief.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me and teach me, for you are my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
Hope is not dependent upon our circumstances. Rather, it is dependent upon our Savior, a Savior who has time and time again brought us through, a Savior who gave up heaven in his earthly life that we might know him, a Savior who left his Spirit among us that we might never, ever feel alone. Indeed, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Through him, we have hope, not only for today, but for eternity as well. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of his Holy Spirit.
Trust the sweetest spring, the holy leaf. Dear God, we thank you for all the many blessings you provide us. We thank you for the blessings of freedom and family. We especially thank you for financial blessings, which allow us to take care of our physical needs. Now, in appreciation and in worship, we return part of these financial blessings to you. As we do this, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for forgiving us our sins and make each one of us a blessing to somebody else today. Amen.
Thank you. stand. Each breath I take is by your command. Your love will always hold me. Guide me and enfold me.
Good to see you this morning. We finished up our 30-day challenge last week, but hopefully what we learned, the purposes of the church, continue to live in our lives. And if you'll recall, last week as we talked about reaching out, lost and found, we talked about reaching out into a world that needs to know the kind of hope that we're talking about this morning. And if you recall, the challenge was threefold. First of all, it was to pray a prayer, an eight-word prayer, that we would see people through God's eyes, that we would love the lost, that we would love those who don't know Christ as much as God does. The second part of the challenge was to invite someone to church. Now, I hope you did that this week. If you did and they didn't come, keep after them. Keep looking for opportunities. God's going to present those opportunities to you. The third part of the challenge was to share your story. Now, we also talked about the fact that people can dispute theology with you all they want, and they will. They'll argue theology. Just open the door, and they'll argue religion and politics any day of the week. All right? But what they cannot argue with you is what God has done in your life, because they have no frame of reference whatsoever. You know what your story is. Okay? So Be encouraged. Continue to tell your story. Look for opportunities to tell your story. There are a lot of good stories in Scripture. And this morning, we are going to read a story that if anybody ever had an awesome testimony, if anybody ever had an opportunity to share his story, this guy did. Okay, the story that we're going to read is in Mark chapter 10. I invite you to take your Bible if you would like to. If you didn't bring your Bible, I think we probably have a page reference. Yes, it's 716 in the Pew Bible. We're going to read a story that's actually in all three synoptic gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Different places, obviously, but in Mark chapter 10, let's read this account. Beginning in verse 46, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. There really should be parentheses there. It says, really? Exclamation point. They asked him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they, probably some of the many, they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Now, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, teacher, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus down the road. As you read this story, it's hard sometimes to preach from the healing stories of Jesus. For in any congregation, there is someone sitting there, and it may be you this morning, that's wondering, why in the world would Jesus heal Bartimaeus but seems to ignore my pain or seems to ignore my affliction, whatever that may be? And that's a legitimate question. You know, there's certainly enough pain to go around in the world. And we can all imagine that if we were God, we just simply would not allow it, right? We'd say, we'd just do away with pain and suffering. We'd do something about this if we were God. You know, but the question of pain and suffering is an ancient one. It's as old as the world itself. And the question never really has an answer, at least not an answer that's satisfactory to us, right? You know, you can read all the books you want to on it. You can talk to God about it, but you never quite come to this complete resolution. There's no explanation. There's no complete resolution, no key to understanding why Bartimaeus and all of mankind, why we find ourselves in need of physical healing, but yet not receiving it, at least like we expect. You know, though the healing stories from Jesus' ministry do not provide us with an answer to human pain or even a promise that if we have faith like Bartimaeus that we will be healed just like he was, they do give us a glimpse. They give us a look into the work and the mercy of God. Read the story again. He cries out, Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Here is a man that is at the fringes of society. He is truly at the fringe. His handicap, his blindness has put him at the fringe. So this is where he was, and that's the only place he seemed to be able to get help. You know, handouts from passerbys. People would come by, he would cry out to them. And this day he's crying out just as he always did for alms, for help. Some way, somebody help me. But when he heard it was Jesus in the crowd, His pleas changed. What he was asking changed. And I don't know if he even held out any kind of hope whatsoever of healing or that he expected something else from Jesus. He maybe, I don't know, we don't know from Scripture, perhaps he had heard about Jesus. Perhaps he had heard that Jesus was capable of healing. We really don't know. What we do know is that those who were protecting Jesus told the man to be quiet. Be quiet, be quiet, shh. But he was determined to be heard. He was going to be heard. He cried out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And it's at that moment that we see it. Not the answer to all of our questions about pain, but we see the one who always pays attention to us. The one. You know, though the other people that were there tried to make this guy be quiet, Jesus stood and turned and said, "Call him here. Have him come to me." And they did it. Those who had previously told Bartimaeus, "Be quiet, be quiet," now they followed the example of Jesus, the merciful example of Jesus. They say, you know, one minute they were saying, "Be quiet." The next minute they're saying, "Cheer up. Take cheers. Come on, come on, come next to Jesus. He's calling you. Come on up." We're fickle, aren't we? Human beings are really fickle. But Bartimaeus did as was presented to him. He didn't just amble up. Scripture tells he threw off his cloak, jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What is it you want me to do? What do you want? What would you have me to do for you?" And his response, "My teacher, my rabbi, let me see again. I want to see." And it happened. Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness and he became a disciple. He became a follower. Scripture is very clear. It says he followed Jesus along the road. The result of his healing was that he followed Jesus. The story of Jesus healing a blind man, in this case named Bartimaeus, to me is a story of mercy and hope. We've talked about hope, and I appreciate the reading. I mean, it's hope is something that the world is constantly screaming for, and we have the answer for that. This is a story of mercy and hope. There's more emotion in this story than many others that you may read in Scripture. There's so much emotion here expressed through the words and the action. First, you have the crowd. And when this man screams out, you have the crowd telling him, "Be quiet," very sternly telling, order him to be quiet. And later, they tell him to take heart, to cheer up. You know, and Bartimaeus shouted. He cried for mercy. He threw off his cloak, sprang to his feet, and followed. You know, and far from refusing to deal with people, we have Jesus who responded to the cries and the shouts and the enthusiastic hopes of a man in need. And you go, "Preacher, that's a great story. How does it help me?" What about me? There is so much about the workings of human pain within a community in this story, workings that many of us will recognize. The blind man is in great need, continually calling out for help, not just this day, but most likely every day of his life. He's there by the side of the road asking for help. And you and I, we know who these people are, don't we? I'm not just talking about those physically that you might have passed along the side of the road this morning. I'm talking about metaphorically speaking too. Those that we know are crying out for help. And just as we often do, the people in this story, they just walked on by. Some of them were just annoyed and tried to get him to be quiet. Are they worried that Jesus is going to be disturbed? Or are they using that as an excuse because they're afraid that they're going to be disturbed? See, there's some tough questions in here for us. They're disturbed by the reminder that there's pain. That there's pain in this world. They're disturbed with how close that pain has come to them. Close enough to reach out and touch him. And they really would just soon not hear about it. That's the reason they ask him to be quiet. But the one in need is wise enough not only to cry out, but to understand what it means to get the pain, not let the pain be bottled up inside him. He shouts, he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus recognizes and responds to his cries. The crowd's response is really kind of interesting. Like I say, that's a whole other sermon right there. Once protective, quote unquote, of Jesus. After they see how Jesus responds, they too turn to Bartimaeus and they tell him to take heart, cheer up, come on, be buddy with us. Because his cries have been heard and Jesus wants to see him. That's what the game changer was. I see in this story a human being in pain who thankfully isn't afraid to talk about it. And I see a community that initially is reluctant to hear his pain, but eventually is willing to listen and to help the man get what he needs. What would it be like if our churches, what would it be like if our communities were encouraged enough and encouraged other people who were in pain to actually talk about it? And what would happen if we actually made a space for these people who are troubled to be heard? We talked 5 weeks ago about what it means to be authentic community. As a church, that is one of the purposes of the church, to be authentic community. What if we, within the context of authentic community, what if we offered support to all people who are hurting in all walks of life? And once we truly listen, we have no other way to go than to show them the mercy and the hope of Jesus Christ, to encourage them to take heart because Jesus has heard their cries. We can read it and read it and read it and know there may not be a simple answer to our questions about pain and suffering, at least this side of heaven. As I said at a memorial service recently, when we walk into heaven, C.S. Lewis says our first words will be, of course. Yeah. All things will be made clear to us at that point. But this side of heaven, we may not have all the answers we want or we need, but we do know that we have hope because it's in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is what the community of Christ does. We watch for those who are beside the road. We listen to them and we offer them hope. Nothing less is expected of us because we're following the example of Jesus Christ. It's interesting what's going on in the world right now. It really is. There's an interesting message that seems to, it's in everything, just about every conversation. People are saying, I've never really seen, I've never known a time when our nation was more divided. That tells me two things. First of all, it tells me they don't know a whole lot about U.S. history. That's the first thing it tells me. The second thing it tells me is that we're putting our hope in the wrong things/people. You see, you can talk about putting your hope in a president, but a president is just a person, a human being. And I don't care who they are or how good they are, that's the wrong thing to put your hope in. We can put our hope in the economy. Good luck with that. We can put our hope in earthly relationships. And that's not all bad within the context of community. It's not all bad. But ultimately, all of those things will fail us. It's when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. It's when we put our hope in him that we fully understand what this story, what other stories in Scripture are all about. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray and we admit that we don't understand. We don't have all the questions. Well, we got a lot of questions, but we don't have the answers sometimes we want. But we know that you've given us what we need in Jesus Christ and his teachings, his life example. Father, help us at those points where we feel most hopeless, that we would fully lean on Jesus Christ. God, we pray that as we encounter people who are experiencing hopelessness, that first of all, we would stop and that we would listen. that we would give them our time, that we would help them, that we would point them to Jesus. God, it sounds pretty simplistic, but we understand the nature of the gospel is so simple that a child can understand and obey. Help us to be your faithful children. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's step number one. You can't experience true hope outside of a relationship with Christ. This is your day. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'd be glad to share with you. Come see me here. Or if you don't want to come see me here, give me a call this week. Be glad to talk with you about it. If you are here and you're a believer, but you're kind of overwhelmed by all these questions about pain and suffering and hopelessness, understand we as a community want to stand by you during this time. Understand that fully. But we need to hear from you. Sometimes we don't pick up the body language like we should. We don't pick up the key words. Help us with that. Be open. Let us encourage you. If you're here and you would like to be a member of this church, there are many ways we receive members. We'd be excited to talk with you about it. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Ask you to remain standing for our benediction. Following the benediction response, please encourage one another. Greet one another. Greet our guests. Let them know that we're delighted they're here with us and we welcome them as part of this community. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day, the glorious chance to worship you, to be together, to feel your presence with us. Father, we pray that you would encourage us and give us the hope that comes through your Son. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.